Welcome, welcome to another episode of In the Chair with Bear. Today we're talking about unconscious patterns, how we hold ourselves in different patterns, especially in our body. We're going to be talking with Jesse Salas. He's a foundation training expert and guide. He's been working, doing the foundation training for years, and it's really this way of opening up yourself, expanding yourself. Most of us live and sit and breathe and operate in a kind of contracted way. I'm feeling it right now. So this is about opening up, expanding, using the breath, using the body, and using techniques that allow you to feel more in your body. Pretty cool stuff, man. Pretty cool stuff. Thanks for listening, as always. Awesome. So we're sitting here with Jesse Salas. He's a foundation trainer. You do foundation training, and you've been doing that for how many years now?
I want to say 8 or 9 years now.
Okay.
I started when I was still a firefighter over an injury, and then it ultimately I left the fire service and got into doing this full time.
Wow.
So it's been about 8 or 9 years now.
So and it was started by Dr. Eric Goodman, right?
Yes.
And he founded this relatively recently, right? I mean, just 10, 15 years ago? Or
yeah, about the last 10, 15 years. And it was spawned through him dealing with a chronic low back pain. They wanted to do surgery. He's got significant issues with his spine, and he just wanted to see what he could put together, and the system was evolved, and it's continued to grow and evolve ever since. And yeah, it's a modern solution to the leading causes of chronic pain.
I thought it was really interesting, his TED Talk, and just his approach. I mean, he's a chiropractor, obviously, you know, and then they're telling him he had to get surgery, and he's, you know, just tried to do something different, and he sort of came up with this method of correcting his own injury.
Yeah, it really speaks to the idea around not just accepting a diagnosis. You know, do your research, get multiple opinions, but he's a...
And even beyond that, like, I mean, what we're already, you know, we're 2023 and people kind of think, oh, well, if it's already been done or it's... And it's sort of like opening my mind to, no, there's always something new, right?
Yeah.
There's always a new way to approach an old problem that we just sort of, everybody goes, okay, whatever, you know, I'm just going to let it kill me or whatever.
Yeah,
and that,
you know,
and then he kind of steps up and says, you know, there's a new way. There's got to be a new way. And I love that, you know, you're also sharing that out with the world. It seems like you're doing a lot of the work now.
It's been a big privilege to get to bring this into people's lives, seeing what it does. And that's what I found so captivating to leave the fire service was when I first started going to the courses with him, people would always stand up after lunch and they would let food digest. All the attendees to become certified instructors would share their story, how they found foundation training. And some of them were just 15, 20 years of really being robbed quality of life because they had this injury that had really crippled them. And then they found this 12-minute workout on YouTube, started doing it, changed their life. Those stories were really impactful. And as I started sharing it at the fire service and seeing how it was impacting the guys in the department, I was just, man, this is wild.
Did you have an injury yourself? Or?
I had a few.
Okay.
The fire service is notorious for breaking the bodies down.
I mean, it's gotta be intense.
Yeah, lack of sleep.
Dehydration.
High speed dehydration,
yeah.
A lot of stress. And you don't think about that when you're 25, 26. I started at 18.
Wow.
That doesn't even cross your mind. And when the senior guys, the seasoned veterans would talk about back injuries, like, it's never going to be me. Never going to be me. I'm never going to be that guy. I work out. You know, I was really into powerlifting, Olympic weightlifting, smart training. My whole world was fitness outside the fire service. And so when I got injured, it was very much what is this? And it just cut me off. I think I was 30, 31 maybe. And I tore an MCL in my knee doing jiu-jitsu. So I knew Doc Goodman. We connected. I started doing some foundation for my knee, of all things. And it was, whoa, that's different. Whoa, I have this different sense of stability, not just in my knee, but my whole body. And then I kept doing the work and, oh, now when I'm lifting weights, I feel better. I feel stronger. I don't feel so naggingly compressed afterwards. And I got kind of obsessed. And I had the back injuries, you know, the typical stuff from the job. And my biggest thing for everybody, and especially firefighters, is that break the mold that this is just part of aging, that this is just part of the job.
Yeah.
That was always, it's part of the job. And you just accept it. And it's like, no. Like anything, whether it's physical or spiritual, don't just accept. Start going, there's work to be done.
And that's what I really love about this whole story, is because we sort of do these things unconsciously, not only in our bodies, but in our minds, right?
Yeah.
Where we just hold ourselves into a pattern and we don't think about it. You know, and I think a lot of what the foundation training seems like, it comes from this idea that we hold our bodies in these positions that are stressing out our joints or stressing out our bodies in ways that we don't realize. And it's really the chronic, every day we're sitting in the same way in our chairs, or we're scrunched over, or we're doing whatever we're doing. And over time that, yeah, that creates, he said something like 80% of people are gonna experience chronic back pain in their lives or something, and that's—
Very accurate.
Yeah.
And you're exactly right. That position that really is resulting from modern comfort. We're sitting often, we're slumping in front of computers and on phones. And what I want to get across is that it's not that one thing is going to kill you. The body's okay to go there, but if you're there all the time, the body is then adapting. Good or bad, your body's adapting. So if we're adapting that posture and position all the time, what we see is compression. So now the way the body's shifting is that we're compressing and collapsing in, which then puts us in this position where the joints are absorbing far more impact and pressure than they were, I don't want to say they were intended for, but then we should be putting on them. You know, you want to have the muscles balanced and loaded so that the muscles and tendons that have elasticity absorb the primary force, and then the ligaments and the joints without elasticity are secondary. That's your secondary support system. Rather than collapsing in and now, hey, I feel my knees, I feel my hips, my low back, maybe my shoulders, the head goes forward, I'm getting these chronic headaches, numbness tingling down the arms. And so a lot of practitioners go straight to the down the arm, oh, the carpal tunnel, or the tingling. And that's a downstream problem from an upstream issue. If I take pressure off the massive bundle of nerves coming off my spine all the way down, especially when I say with the arms, your brachial nerve plexus, if I unload that and start bringing in that decompression breathing and making space in the body, balancing the way those muscles are pulling on the frame, your skeletal structure, and the way they're pressurizing the nerves, suddenly you unclog the drain, you open up the highway, and things start flowing.
It's like the, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's I try to give analogies so people—
It's like the opening.
Yeah.
It's almost like we're closed all the time and we don't realize it, so you're just opening that up, allowing the oxygen to come in, and then strengthening the muscles that we don't pay attention to as much.
Breathe big. If we sit up tall, we think about lifting the weight, and if someone's listening or watching, just think about sitting up nice and tall and trying to lift the weight of your head off of your neck. So if you're looking forward, not up, but forward, and you think about, okay, I'm gonna lift the weight of my head off my neck, it might sit up a little bit taller.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm gonna try to line up my ears with my shoulders and then go for 5 inhales here, but focus now on the back of the rib cage. So breathing the back of your ribs for the chair behind you, and in through the nose, your nose is for breathing, mouth is for eating, but in through the nose and just feel that expanding. We try to get people to get the awareness around their breathing of, one, we need to address posture and position. So if you have a breath practice, if you're slumped here all day long and then you're breathing there, you're gonna be very restricted. But if we elevate and start putting the intent into the back of the rib cage, because your lungs are in the ribs, you start opening that up. The more you train the rib cage to be able to open and expand, then it starts to maybe lose a little bit of rigidity. We start to allow the scapulas of the shoulders to glide better as the rib cage expands with every inhalation. And
yeah,
it starts to unstrict a lot of things. A lot of digestive issues seem to shift. There's chronic aches and pains. anxieties. If we're here,
anxiety, yeah.
That mouth wants to open, the head goes forward, we shallow breathe right into panic receptors.
Do you find that people, once they go through, or maybe you have some stories of people, once sure. they've gone through some of the practice, that they have other sort of emotional breakthroughs or mental breakthroughs, spiritual breakthroughs that
yeah.
sort of connect with the body?
Absolutely. It, you know, I always go into everything is connected.
Yeah.
And a body that is in this compressed position where you're, maybe it starts letting you know, you start getting these chronic aches and pains, you're breathing shallow, and all of a sudden, hey, you commit to doing 2 weeks of this, and you start focusing on opening things up, breathing a little bit bigger, expanding, making space for the communication where that chronic pain starts to dissipate, and it generally dissipates fast. But now there's this new awareness that comes very, you start to have these subconscious habits, as in when you're going through your day, you're moving differently because in the exercise, you start training very specific movement patterns that support the body. But now with that subconscious pattern, there's also this hyper-focus on your breathing. Now, in the beginning, you just start noticing, oh, I'm sitting up a little bit taller. Oh, hey, I'm breathing better. I'm feeling a level of calmness. And all we've done is bring awareness. And through that awareness, people, the more they do, they start to make bigger connections.
Well, I think awareness is everything. I mean,
yeah.
you know, it's also, those are unconscious patterns that we have. We hold our bodies that way.
Yeah.
And I find it's true with your mind. You know, when you become aware of certain sort of thoughts that you chronically have, and then you can start to dispel that stuff and kind of, you know, change the story that you've been telling yourself, right?
And that's the hard part.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people want to hold on to their story.
Yeah.
It, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, a lot of his work is we attach to our story. And what I look at, so hopefully this doesn't lose anybody, is when we start to even think about our chakra lines. What I love with Dr. Dispenza is he talks about energy centers.
Yeah.
And that when we open up and we focus on these expansive positions, you're essentially aligning those. You're aligning your spine. You're allowing some really important communication lines to reconnect wires. And
yeah.
you know, I've had the people that will have those emotional breakdowns, breathing big and going through foundation training. We've had some people where we played doing our foundation training, doing some Wim Hof, you know, working a couple things, and couple times it was just,
breakthroughs.
Emotional and,
yeah.
you know, it's a beautiful thing. They felt a little bit, I'm sorry.
It's intense.
Like,
it's,
let it go.
Yeah, you gotta,
You know, there's another idea that our issues get stored in our tissue. So the issues in the tissues.
They definitely do. I mean, I've had that experience myself. I did a 10-day silent meditation with the Vipassana meditation. And that's a very simple process where all you do is breathe and you're aware of your body. And man, stuff starts coming out of you. Like, it's crazy. It's
really?
Crazy when you just allow it to happen.
Was there one profound one though? Like, I'm curious, because I've got friends that have done them.
So many.
I'm nervous.
There was like, it was wild because I would be sitting there, for example, you know, you're just sitting really still and I'm just observing my body. And the whole thing is you're getting out of your sort of judgment mind and you're just observing and you're observing your breathing and just kind of feeling the sensation. That's what, you know, Goenka will always say, feel the sensation, you know?
Yeah. It's like, that's a challenge,
so,
though,
but it's a challenge, yeah, just to do that. That's all you're doing. And it's incredible because you'll go through these periods of intense pain. Like, oh my God, I feel like my arm is falling off. And I'm sitting there just being as silent as I can, and I'm excruciatingly feeling like my arm is like tearing off. And I just, okay, don't judge it, just feel the pain and observe it for what it is. Suddenly the pain would transform into this light energy. And then I would have a memory. Like, it would be a memory of my childhood, or like at one point I remember I sort of had this memory of all these horrible television programs that I've seen over the years, just like in this sort of compacted zip file that just got unzipped and went through my brain in like this moment. And then all of a sudden I was like, and the pain was gone. It just disappeared. It was like I was letting go of these things that were inside of my muscles and in my tissue. And as it disappeared, it would come with these thoughts or these you know, and of course, then it come with this little kernel of wisdom, which is like, well, I probably shouldn't watch movies like that anymore, you know?
Right? Yeah.
that was the kernel of wisdom there.
I mean, but it's amazing. You don't think, like, and that's, you know, we're, that idea, we're the product of the things we watch, the things we listen to, the stories we tell ourselves.
And yeah.
Sometimes it takes shutting everything out to have that realization, man, those things really do impact me. You know, it's like, what's, I've got a twin brother, and what I love is we always are trading. I'll wake up in the morning sometimes on Oahu because I'm 5 hours behind him, and I'll have these three, you know, 15-minute long YouTube inspirational things of Tony Robbins or Les Brown or Dispenza. And I just always go into it's so significant on what you start your day with, what you choose to kind of embody. And I think starting the day with a movement practice, even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and a breath practice, because you immediately, one, set the tone for your day. You set the brain and body that you have control. And really you set an intention of what this day is going to mean for you. And the silence is that, you know, you're allowing your consciousness to kind of recognize what it has control
over. Yeah. And where the imbalances maybe are, and then allowing it to be what it is, because, you know, a lot of times we resist it, right?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing for the pain. You get the pain and you're like, okay, no, this pain's not going to happen. I'm going to smoke some weed. I'm going to take some pain meds. I'm going to do whatever I can to numb this pain, to get this pain to disappear. But really, the pain is a message, right?
Yeah.
It's your body saying, hey, shit's imbalanced.
Yeah.
Like, let's figure this one out.
Don't mask it with pills.
Yeah.
You know, look at it. And that's a big one that we talk a lot about with foundation training especially, but I think it crosses into all movement modalities. Silent meditations is really this, don't mask what's going on, you know, step into it, look at what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I see a lot of, it's just, it's work.
It
you know,
is.
And it's a recognition, you've got to do work, but
yeah,
it is so much more rewarding. And you know, look,
I mean,
and
I totally follow that too. Cause also when you start to work on a spiritual practice, maybe, or you start to go, like, maybe you're working with Tony Robbins or you're doing some, okay, I'm going to start really thinking positively. A lot of times what happens, people hit a wall, even early on. I mean, you're like, okay, you have like a couple good weeks, everything's flowing. You're like, dude, this is working. My life's awesome. And then something happens and you're like, boom, you know?
Yeah.
Life like crashes down on you, and you're not only are you back where you started, but you're worse, you know. And you're sitting there like, it sucks. Everything's horrible again, you know.
Yeah.
And it's tough to, you know, you got to keep pushing yourself. And I think people get so down on themselves though, because they look around and I don't know, they'll see everybody so happy, and they're like, well, why is everybody so happy? And the truth is, they're not, man. Yeah. Fucking everybody struggles, you know?
Everybody.
Don't let them lie to you, you know? We're all up against that. And anyway, you work with a lot of athletes, too. I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah.
You work with jiu-jitsu athletes and surfing.
Yeah. A lot of walks of life. Most recent big tout is the jiu-jitsu guys.
Yeah. That's an example where obviously you hit those walls and you have to push through, right? So tell me some stories from the jiu-jitsu like community about like doing that. Like you were saying you do some strength conditioning with those guys too.
So it working with the most recent that I've really established my relationship with was the Rutolo brothers. They're twin brothers. And one of them is now the youngest world champion in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu via the ADCC tournament. It's kind of like the Olympics for the sport. And his twin brother was a bronze medalist in the absolute division. So just fighting guys twice, no weight limit kind of deal. And
there's no weight limit in Jiu-Jitsu.
There's weight classes, but when they go into absolute, anybody can fight in there. So they pull guys from basically every weight class can have someone fight in it. And yeah, Ty did absolutely amazing. Got to the semifinals and then by decision lost that match. But he's, at the time, 19 years old, fighting men. You know, both him and his brother.
So is there, in jiu-jitsu, I mean, is there an advantage to having a certain weight? Or, you, like, guys can really just take a bigger guy down. Like, it's just...
Yeah, I'm going to always go... So I would say, but I'm going based on what my friend... I grew up in martial arts. My background's more kickboxing. I've done jiu-jitsu on and off for a very long time. So I always quote my friends that have done it their whole life, because I don't want to portray a subject matter expert. But they all say the same thing. There comes a point where your weight and your strength definitely plays a role. But the goal is technique.
Yeah.
You know, the goal is to especially me, when I'm rolling with guys, like, my goal is not to use my muscle to win. It's more of to use the technique, use the skill that I'm being taught, and find the leverage, find the angle, learn the skill, not just muscle my way through everything. And I've gotten to work quite a bit with Hit On and Henner Gracie, more Hit On. They're the Gracie brothers up in Torrance. They run Gracie University. And, you know, it's a whole different philosophy. Their mentality is jiu-jitsu for a lifetime. And what I love learning from them is that just because, hey, okay, I get this guy in a position, I can finish him real quick. Well, no, what are you going to learn? Get there and don't just finish him. Be there. Learn, see what he's going to do. How can you control him? And it becomes this curiosity, if you will, this exploration of this one spot. And what hit me hard was, he said, become a black belt in just managing that person in, say, you know, you get him into an arm bar. I've got my legs across him. I've got his arm in a perfect position where I can lay back and get him to submit or break his arm. But instead of just going, I'm going to finish him, be the black belt of managing all the different ways he's going to try to escape. Don't just worry about finishing the submission. And same thing with the choke. And it's kind of a different lens that I ever go with. It was like, I'm going to go in and I want to win. And they're like, no. What can you learn? You know,
it's like expanding your perception of what's going on. Like widening your gaze a little and look at all the possible ways this guy can escape. Because if you're with someone who's expert level, they might just get out of it like that if you're not paying attention, right?
Exactly. Or say what he hit me with, I was like, wow, I've never thought about it. He goes, okay, you always can overpower everybody because you're a young guy and you do this long enough and you're talented. You get to your black belt. But then one day you're not so young, but you've always relied on that. But you never really trained all of those different things because you were so worried about losing in class that day. Where now you've been the guy who's like, I don't care. You know, okay, I'm not going to try to finish. I'm going to see what goes on. Oh, you lose it. Oh, hey, this guy does submit you. But when you get to be 55, 60 years old, and now you have all of this technique instead of just relying on that strength that will fade.
Yeah.
So it just gave me a different kind of philosophy. And what I love is just the a curiosity into it. But I won't lie. I like training with guys that are like, we're going to drill and we're going to hammer too.
Yeah.
So I get to play in the best of all the worlds. The guys that are doing it for the sheer passion of jiu-jitsu, the 9-to-5 worker that wants to go and enjoy martial arts and not necessarily get destroyed because he's got to go home to his family, he's got to work. I think what they've put together is absolutely amazing for anybody that's going, I'm not trying to be a professional fighter, but I would love to take on martial arts and have this passion that allows me to connect with a community that is also there with a like mindset. But then I also can defend myself and I can defend my family, worst case scenario. But then the other guys, they're training to fight. They're training to compete. Very different animals, you know?
So you work with both, you're saying?
Yeah, and then I've also worked, you know, I got to work with world famous Hickson Gracie, who, you know, was... in the martial arts world, he's the icon. He's really the MMA insane guy. They did a documentary about him called Choke back in the day. But he was on Joe Rogan. Oh, I want to say it's been a little over a year now, year and a half. But he was on there talking about his low back his spine was really bad. And he was at a point of not getting to do a whole lot. Through Hit On Gracie and another guy that came through foundation training to help his own back. So he's a jiu-jitsu professor of the Gracie method. He came through our course because it allowed him to get out of chronic pain and keep teaching jiu-jitsu. They want to do surgery, no more teaching. He found the 12-minute video, fought doing it, eventually shut his pain off, was no longer in pain, wanted to get certified, came through the course. Him and I became buddies.
Oh, cool.
His name's Jackson Fortunato. He's run to school
in
Texas.
I think I saw him on your Instagram. Yeah.
Jackson basically heard Hickson on Joe Rogan, calls me up. He's like, I'm gonna try, we gotta help him. Like, bro, I'm nobody to this guy. He's like, okay, I'm gonna, talks to Hiedon. Hiedon talks to his uncle, Hickson. This comes full circle. I wind up flying to Torrance, working with Hickson Gracie.
That's awesome.
And it was a very interesting curve because, you know, his MRIs are bad. He's got the best people in the world looking at him going, pain's going to be a part of your life. We're probably going to have to fuse your spine. It's going to wind up being the whole thing. And we got him back to doing jiu-jitsu. We made a lot of headway. And what I love with him is day three of me showing up every day, he shows up and he's like, this is changing my life. I'm realizing that this isn't just something I'm going to do one time and it's done. It's something I'm going to do for the rest of my life. But doing the exercises, doing the breathing, I can manage and I can balance the way my body holds itself and take the pressure off of those discs in my spine so the muscles do the job. And again, you're talking about...
So is it something that he's gonna do with the rest of his life? I mean, from what I'm understanding, it's not like a crazy long amount of exercise. Like you're doing like a 15, 20-minute exercise at a time or something like that. Is that right?
That's what I encourage. It, you know, today with the athletes, when we went and trained, we did 5 minutes to start. We finished with 5 minutes. That's it. The person who's not like, I'm in chronic pain, but I have these nagging things. 5 to 10 minutes a day, 10 to 15 minutes a day. We did a study with LA County Fire, anecdotal kind of test where we started with 40, fires came in. We ended up with about 15 finishing this, but we put them through a physical assessment where we checked their grip strength, lung volume. They did what's called a functional movement screening. We did Dr. Stuart McGill's low back test that basically predicate whether or not you're gonna have a back injury. And then put them through a mini workshop and they did 10 minutes a day for 8 weeks. And at the end of that, we retested everything. We had an increase in lung volume. We had an increase in grip strength, both of which are predicators of lifespan. And then they all increased on their low back strength endurance. They all increased their scores on their FMS screenings. So what we showed was essentially improvement across the board, a reduction of the likelihood of that injury. Because I always say,
and that was just a 20 minutes,
10 minutes a day.
So the five before you do your thing and the five after? Or
for them, it was a 10-minute routine.
It was just a 10-minute routine.
I say for everybody, figure out your lifestyle.
Do you recommend a routine like that in the morning or
yes.
The best in the morning?
Yeah, I love the idea around get up, get some water, and within the first 20 minutes, get on the floor and go through 10 to 15, 20 minutes of the work. You know, we've got a streaming site, an app. Go on there and go through a workout of the day. And
does it change every day when you did this eight week program with these guys, or is it the same routine?
They had a pretty set routine, but it was basically on our app. It's what we call a baseline program.
Cool.
Where they're doing fundamental exercises, nothing fancy. We've got about 27 different exercises because again, we apply it.
Because it's really unique. You're doing these unique holds. You know,
yeah.
I've seen some of the...
It looks like... Well, I say for everybody, it looks like a yoga. It looks like a yoga
little,
movement.
Yeah.
And so there's two ways it's applied. In a yoga-esque format, a class format, a collective, or you hit me up, you're in chronic pain. So I'll give you an example. I went and wound up working with pop icon Madonna because she's having chronic hip issues. So when I went in, I applied it very specifically to her body. So that's why I always let people know is that if you're dealing with something very specific where within a week of doing it on the app, you're like, nothing's changing, find a foundation training instructor because we can apply the method specifically to your body, specifically to what you have going on. Now, I might target your low back, but I'm going to address the whole body in the process.
Got it.
I'm going to work on your breathing. I'm going to work on your posture. I'm going to work on your ability to connect. And what all this work does, it teaches your body to work as a system. Your body is comprised of a muscular system, a neurological system. There's so many aspects to that. I'm just giving you two. But those two I look at and go, it wants to be trained as one. Teach it to do that. Learn how to connect. And as you said before, feel.
Yeah.
My biggest thing is go into these things, feel
these
different things going on.
Yeah.
Turn that volume up of sensitivity to your body. where you listen. A lot of times people think sensitivity, oh, I'm getting weak or soft, used to firemen. But that sensitivity is a, to me, is it becomes a superpower. You yeah. know, when I look at it with the professional athlete, the superpower I'm giving them is they, one, they learn to connect and teach their body as a system yeah. to use everything behind their effort, but then there's a better proprioception. There's a better body awareness. There's better breathing. All those elements coming together.
It's a holistic sort of.
Oh, you're yeah. you're taking your body and you're revving a Ferrari now.
Yeah.
Instead of this broke down, I'm gonna attack this, I'm gonna work on that. Oh, I have this shoulder thing. Well, let me just target my shoulder. But you don't take into consideration, you have this fascial web. You have this muscular chain of muscles that are all working together. So if you're just targeting the spot instead of collectively looking at the whole system, you can miss a lot.
That's really cool, man. I love everything you're throwing down. It's really, what's, for you, what is, well, there's two, I have two questions. One is like, I want to hear a story of, okay. of a breakthrough that you experienced with somebody. Anything that kind of stands out for you, like somebody who maybe was a big denier or a big doubter or had some like, hey, this will never work. And
I
then,
got one.
You know.
I got one. Because he's an amazing guy, big wave surfer, big wave foiler, jiu-jitsu, gnarly jiu-jitsu practitioner. He's a big icon on the North Shore of Oahu. And for a very long time, he's known of foundation training. He'd always see it, and he's like, that's lame. I got nothing. And then I helped another gentleman in jiu-jitsu named Marcelo Garcia, who's a multiple-time world champion. And him and this guy's name is Kai. He goes by Kai Borg. It's Kai Garcia. But Kai was just, oh, hey, one day I get a phone call. He's kind of one of these guys that when he calls you out of the blue, I've never spoke with him. I see him, hey, how are you? And he's like, hey, what's up, bro? That's it. I get a phone call. I'm in Costa Rica from him. And he's like, hey. Oh, why is this guy calling me? Uh-oh, what'd I do? Like, I'm in trouble. Like, I did something. North Shore community is small. And I get Kai Borg calling me. I'm like, oh, no. Uh-oh. And he's hey, you know, Marcelo Garcia, he's having some back issues. I thought about it, and I want to connect you guys because I know that system. I heard about what you're doing with the Rotolo brothers, Hicks and Gracie. So I helped Marcelo. We jumped on a Zoom. Boom. Marcelo's like, wow, okay. Was able to help him shut off some back stuff going on. When I get back to Oahu, I was there with Ty Rotolo, and we all got together, and Kai was just like, all right, take me through some of this stuff. Take me through it. We start going through it, and he's just, the next day, hey, let's do some more. Hey, let's do some more. And it became, and he jokes, he's like, I was the biggest, get out of here with that. That stuff's, you know, ah. And now he's very much like, man, I need it. I need it. My goal is to stay in the game. I want to keep foiling. I want to keep doing jiu-jitsu. I want to get the most out of my body. And what I love is he went from being, he was never a negative. He was never telling people don't do it. He was just like, I don't have time, to a huge advocate, a huge proponent of it. And, you know, he encouraged a lot of friends. As I got to know him, he's a tough dude, but he's also got a huge heart, and he looks after the community, and he brings a lot of people in that have kind of lost their way, and he's helping them find their path. And as he's taken to this, he's constantly pulling people to do it now.
Is he a certified trainer now? You got to get him certified.
He won't do it. But what's cool is there's quite a few that, you know, legendary surfboard shaper out there that got on board, and now he's going, I really want to get on this. I want to help. I mean, he's top Pat Rawson. He's one of the top surfboard shapers in the world. He's like, I've got 5,000 friends in the surf community, and I want to help. I want to get certified because I believe I can help them keep shaping and get quality of life. So it's a beautiful thing to watch. Otherwise, breakthroughs. One lady showed up one day going, this sounds terrible. I had the biggest crap, Jesse, and like, I'm happy for you. Why are you telling me this? And she goes, you know, people, once they start to get comfortable, they'll share. A lot of people don't want to let you know all the things going on.
Yeah.
I've had years of constipation and of bowel issues. And I don't know what's going on. Well, if you think about it, she was very tight, very, and here's my thing too is, what you see with that,
they're clenching,
they're holding on. Yeah. They're compressing their organs. You inadvertently are going to cut down your ability to breathe big and expansive. And the more you're here, the body, you know, a thing called creep sets in where we start to kind of almost solidify and lay down collagen and lock our bodies into positions. And so when you start breathing bigger, you start opening that up, you start freeing these things. What I saw with her is she also shifted a little bit from this like, everything's a fight to a little bit more calmer,
yeah,
a little bit more momentary. I see a shift in, even you say like, if you're always tight, you're always in pain, it's gonna be real hard to also be positive and have compassion and have patience.
Well, and I mean, I would say it's even hard to say which came first. Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that can lock you in. A moment in life
and,
happens.
And some moments happen or traumatic moments. And we had, you know, we've had some guests in talking about, you know, traumas that can happen in your early life. And sometimes those chronic pains do come from those kind of traumas. Actually, I was just reading that people that have really bad relationships with their parents are more likely to have chronic health issues. When they get older. So there's things like that, you know, that obviously we're all sort of interconnected with that.
It makes sense though. Like, you know, if you're holding on to that and you don't even realize that's a hidden stressor. That's a hidden, you know, flame that the slightest bit of gas on the flames, whoosh.
And if you have those chronic anxieties, they become like those sort of unconscious ways you hold your body, they become this chronic thing in your mind that then affects you, you know? So just getting awareness of those.
Yeah, go further. This, you're making me think, I never thought about this, but I just listened to Gary Brecka discussing the idea around they can trace most major illnesses to always a hypo-oxygenation to that area, so a lack of oxygen.
A lack of oxygen,
so if you're stressed and angry and fighting,
and you're sort of blocking it off.
And you're blocking, and you're, you know, you're so agitated, that means now your stress levels are always spiking, your cortisol levels are spiking.
Wow.
It's a cascade of events, right? Yeah, like, it's just this, oof.
Yeah, no, I feel that. I mean, because we can hold it in so many different ways, like grudges, resentment, or guilt, shame, whatever, and you kind of hold it in little parts in your body, and then you're basically shutting that part off from the oxygen or off from just, you know, energy. And sort of, I mean, there's like that constricting. That's pretty fascinating.
What have you found is the best entry point for someone to start to let go of a fear or guilt or these emotions? Because that's
the hardest thing. I mean, I think, you know, writing stuff down is good, telling the stories, just talking to people, you know, being vulnerable is really tough. I mean, and a lot of times people are like, well, I get a therapist. But I think, you know, oftentimes we're afraid to even talk to like our friends about some real shit. Like, you know, I've been lately just, I'll be hanging out with someone. I'll be like, okay, you ready for some real talk? You know, let's do some real story right now because this is going on, you know?
Yeah.
And it's pretty much invariably people be like, dude, yeah, I've experienced that myself, or things are, you know, this kind of thing's going on for me. So just allowing yourself to recognize it and just to own it, you know?
Yeah.
You start to realize, nobody's like fucking got their shit all figured out. Nobody's, you know what I mean?
Like it's not a single one.
And it's nobody, not zero. You know, it's funny because my kids, they think that. You know, my kids think that. They're like, they think I got all this shit figured out, you know?
Well,
it's true though, right? Yeah. When you're a kid, you're like, you think, I'm always listening to Disney songs, but there's this really funny song from Frozen 2 where the Olaf the snowman sings, "When you're older, everything's easy when you're older," or I'll know everything when I'm older, you know. I think the kids have that idea, you know. They think, oh yeah, I'm gonna grow up and then I'll know everything, just like my dad's like, dude, you know more than I do right now.
Yeah.
Kids, you know.
Yeah, it is that, and I think sometimes we get hung in that.
Yeah.
You know, what I've seen with certain friends, especially where there's these resentments for their parents, you know, down the road. And I go back, my biggest thing, and I say that for everybody when it's like everyone's got their shit figured out, is recognizing there's no playbook.
Yeah.
There's no playbook. Everyone's doing the best they can. That's what I look at even with parents. Like with my parents, sure, there's a lot of mistakes. There's a lot of things I could be angry at them about, but I look at it and go, one, I feel blessed. I had two parents that loved me. I'm very lucky. Two, there's no playbook, and that I can't expect for them to ever been perfect. They did the best they could. And I look at that when I go out into the world as recognizing everyone's trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Don't take things personal and recognize that most people are going through their own thing. And if you can meet them with a smile and maybe ask a question,
yeah,
that can you know, like
a lot can open
change
up.
A day.
Lot can
yeah,
open up. Yeah,
can help a lot of people.
And you know, I mean, it's like you got to look at the little things that you're doing in your life too, because it's everything's an opportunity, you know.
Yeah.
And most of the time, I mean, a lot of people are just escaping.
Mm.
What you know, they're escaping, and I've done it for years. You know, just using things to escape. Whatever, I'm gonna watch Netflix or, you know, play games online, whatever. Whatever it is that your version of escape is, you know, just taking some of that escape time, even the smallest little bit, and just putting it towards something like this. Hey, get online, watch a Foundation X training video, and just try it. Just do it. 5 minutes. Everybody's got 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just do it for 5 minutes, and then that's all you have to do today. Just one step. If you take one step every day, just a little step towards it, you know, you go, shit, yeah, I got issues, man. I got anxiety, or I'm stressed out, or I got this. It's like, okay, well, what's one step you can take?
Mm.
You know, instead of watching that thing today, just watch one video from, like, Tony Robbins. Just watch one, just one step. And that's it. You don't have to, like, overdo it, man. Just do one step today, then another step tomorrow, and then another step the next day. And just like in your training, you know, after 3 or 4 days, you're like, dude, I feel different.
And 3 or 4 weeks, you're a different person.
And then three or four weeks, months. Right.
And then that one activity becomes a habit. That habit changes your lifestyle.
Yeah.
And what I think is so cool about that is you have no idea how you will evolve from those simple little things. And I'd add to that is the last 30 seconds of every shower, turn it cold.
Yeah, and I do it in the beginning. I just get in and turn it on.
Oh, you're savage, bro. You're savage. I'm always like, But I'll tell you, the number one thing
I found that
goes so far, though, and I think it's just the perfect place, start rattling off all the things you're grateful for.
Oh, I love
it. Turn
it
cold
and
say everything you're grateful for, and it makes it so much better.
I love
it. I'm
so
bad about it.
I love the gratitude stuff, man. Like, intense, like, lay it on. I just go through all in my mind all the things, you know.
Yeah.
I think of it like a book of pictures of all the things I'm grateful for, and I just go flying through it. And then I think of the future, things I'm grateful for that haven't even happened. Like,
yeah.
Oh, that's going to be amazing. That's going to be amazing. You know, I mean, I have a lot of those little things that I do now that just over the years I realized certain states where you just are so on it.
Mm.
Like Christmas morning, or like when the kids, I noticed it with the kids, like when we're like, okay, you know, we're going to go do something amazing today. Like we're going to Disneyland or something. They'll be like, get up at 6 a.m. like, yeah! You know, they're so pumped.
Yeah.
And then if it's like school day, they're like, school, you know, it's like, what is it? Why can't every day be, let's go to Disneyland? And I think, you know, why not, right? It's when you're doing something you love, it can be like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's for you? So what's next for you, Jesse? Like, where are you going with this? I mean, I know you've been doing this practice now for a while, and I just feel like, You seem like the kind of guy that's going to innovate and even move it to a whole nother level, a whole nother direction. So where is it going?
Evolution. You know, with foundation training itself, I like to say I'm along for the ride because it's bigger than me. I love getting to share it. I love being out there helping with it. My goal personally is to, I enjoy working with fighters. I enjoy working with surfers, but I genuinely like just getting to share it with people who have a passion for not even a passion for getting out of pain. It's like people that are curious to learn something new. So my mind is like, I really wanna get to a point where on Oahu, I can have a space where this is something for more of our instructors to come and evolve their practice. You know, I can work with the professional athletes that wanna get stronger and better, but really I look at it and go, I wanna help people that are in the, you know, let's say adaptive space, the adaptive athletes, the person who feels like they're hitting that end of the, like there's nothing I can do. And Doc Goodman and I have gotten to do that. In Australia, we work with a gentleman who was world adaptive champion of surfing, paralyzed from the waist down. His name's Barney Miller. Amazing guy. Trains like nothing I've ever seen. And we just started working on, hey, let's get you into that same position in your chair. And let's work on breathing big. Let's work on these different movements. And it's really an exploration. What can we get away with?
Right,
what
yeah,
can we do?
Really cool.
How can we shift? So,
like, what's the body capable of? What kind of health are we capable of?
And again,
what kind of maybe health turnarounds are we capable of? I mean, some people maybe are up against, like, hey, yeah, it's really messed up. Or people are saying, like, look, you're not going to ever be able to do this or that, you know.
It's amazing. It is amazing what the body's capable of. And what always blows my mind is what can be done when you start making space in the body, making space for that nerve flow, for that nerve communication, for the blood flow, for the lungs, for a clear mind. So that next evolution for me is going to be enjoying the ride, you know, seeing where it's going to take me.
And maybe even going a little deeper into it.
I want us to get foundation training to a point where it's big enough that from a standpoint, it's big enough that it is, there's financial freedom so that I can, and Doc Goodman's, we're cut from the same cloth. We want to be able to give away more. You know, we want to get to a point where it's like, cool, this is doing so well, we can focus on giving those people that don't necessarily have direct access.
Yeah.
That we can go out and provide for the communities. You know, my big passion right now that I spoke with on Oahu before I left is we're working to put some stuff together. They're going to be community outreaches for, you know, North Shore, South Shore, the East Side, the West Side, where we can really bring together not just foundation training, but a couple different elements of wellness, because it isn't just how we move. It's what we take in. It's the mental practices we have. And
maybe it's even just, I mean, what I'm tuning into is that it's even just the ability to heal yourself. Like, it's what Dr. Goodman did that is so profoundly cool, that he was like, you know, not going to accept this diagnosis and this treatment plan that didn't work with his mind.
Yeah.
It was like, no, that is not right. There's got to be a way. And that mentality of there's got to be a way, that in itself is something to educate people on, because it doesn't, you can do foundation training, you can do herbal medicines, you can go for a 10-day silent meditation or just watch a bunch of videos and like get yourself straight. However you do it, is if you believe you can, that's the first step.
The empowerment factor.
Yeah.
As you're saying, I'm going, it is the ability to empower others to recognize how much control they do have.
Yeah.
And exactly as you're saying it, like, you know, the recognizing the ancient medicines. That's huge to me is how much herbs. My mom, my aunt, I was a kid raised more on herbs than it was on modern medicine. So I'm a big, big advocate of once you start to take control of the movement aspect, then it's starting to look at of, with everybody, it's trickling in the different tools.
All of them.
And that's why
I mean, you brought in the chakras, which is, you know, maybe people think it's a little woo-woo or whatever, but it's an ancient science. Like, that stuff is, like, some of the oldest technology we even have. I mean, if you look at Chinese acupuncture, it's insane. Those guys can put a needle in a space in your body, and suddenly you're like, whoa, that pain's gone. Like, people are always like, yeah, acupuncture, it's crazy. But if you really think about it, it's because of all the science and technology that years and years, I mean, and they call it the solar plexus or the Tan Tien for a reason, because it's our battery. It's our, how we bring in the sun, you know, all those things. I mean,
to that point, I always say, if you think about this, and again, Doc Goodman is another, like he planted this seed in my head. Your solar plexus is your solar panel. Open it up to the sun,
right? Like that.
And for people out there, that solar plexus, you've got a huge bundle of nerves there. And if we're here collapsing all the time, and then go further, right by your solar plexus, you've got your diaphragm, this major dome muscle of breathing. And where that diaphragm's connecting, you've got other really big muscles coming in that are chronic hidden things for back pain, your psoas. Then we look at another muscle called your posterior serratus. And they're all kind of in this common
we
junction
put it all
area.
Together in the core.
Yeah,
right?
The core. But if you think about that, open up the solar plexus.
I like that.
Feed the sun, feed your soul.
Yeah.
And take a couple big breaths. Use your nose. Use your nose, you know.
I love that.
But yeah, empower. Empower, bring the people together, bring all the tools together. That's our other thing is like, we don't look at it as like, oh, it's us against this other movement modality, this other pain. No, we're all in the same space helping people. If you find pain relief in that one, amazing. If you find a commonality between the two, great. Get out of this, there's such a, especially because of social media, there's this competitive like us against them. It's like, right. We're your universal accessory. We work great in strength training. We work great with your other movement modalities, with your yoga, with your Pilates, with your herbal medicines. We've got, you know, in 2 weeks, Doc and I are up in Colorado presenting to 1,000 MDs on pelvic stability and low backs. So, you know, even that one, like that's kind of, in my mind, like unheard of that a chiropractor is going to present to medical doctors, because a lot of people, like when I've talked about, oh, Dr. Eric Goodman, oh, what's he doing? Chiropractor, that's not a doctor. And I said, wow, okay. You know, I say, I hear you. That's fine. But tell me more about your back pain. Tell me what's your issue. You know, it's, I just tell everyone, go into it with an open mind of curiosity. Maybe somebody has something you haven't learned yet. Hey, maybe there's ancient medicines that you've dismissed because in allopathic medicine, we're taught to believe like that's woo-woo.
Yeah.
Allopathic medicine's been around since what, the early 1900s?
Totally.
Herbs, acupuncture, body work, these things have been around for 1,000 years or more.
I had
Chinese
this
medicine.
One, yeah, I, exactly. No, I had this one herbal coach, herbalist who told me that when he would go to do house calls for people, a lot of times he would find the herbs that they needed growing up like weeds on their doorstep. And
it's like nature's going, I'm right here for you.
Right.
I hear you.
Well, and that's so I want to encourage anybody who's listening to this, anybody who's catching this, to go on, you know, online, go on YouTube and check out Jesse's work, and because the medicine is obviously growing on your doorstep right now.
Ah, so. That's amazing. That's a good one. I like
and
it.
And I do feel like the medicine comes to find you, you know.
Yeah.
And so just like you're saying, I mean, whatever it is that's coming to find you when you start putting out there, I'm having this chronic pain, you start putting out there, I'm having this chronic anxiety, you start putting out there, hey, I need help, universe. Answers will start coming. The medicine will start coming. So just like you're, I love that message of keep an open mind and you know, look for those plants bringing up on your doorstep.
I like it. They're on here. The herbs, they're on every aisle.
Yeah.
You know, every grocery
store's
got your easiest medicine.
Yeah.
That's the only other thing I want to leave people with is recognizing the massive impact what you consume has on your health. And we're at a time where it's really blowing my mind what's being deemed like real food. And you know, we're really at a time where I normally would never bring it up. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm a very conscious eater.
Yeah.
And again, like I think it all starts to come back with wellness is once you start paying attention, your consciousness does open up to all these other areas of your health. And suddenly the nagging inflammations, oh, you can get rid of those very quickly by just shifting what you eat.
Yeah.
The right herbs, you know, the right herbs go so far.
The anti-inflammatory, the adaptogenic herbs. Oh, I mean, there's so much out there now. But even once you start to pay attention to your body, I feel like you know more, you know?
Absolutely.
Like you can sort of look at a food and be like, do I really want that? I don't know. Is that going to work for me?
Yeah.
I don't know, you know? So paying attention to those little indicators in your mind, I think you kind of know already when you're,
absolutely.
You know, when you're eating something that's not. I mean, we're in an age of over processed foods. It's kind of crazy. It's economies of scale, baby. That's where it's coming from. But it's you know, let's get back to the garden and grow our food fresh from the soil. That's the best way.
Yes, sir.
All right, Jesse, man. Thanks so much for being here, bro.
Pleasure, bro. I enjoyed
awesome.
It, man. Thank you so much.
Love having you, man. Loved it.
Oh, man. Thank you, Jesse. Dude, that was amazing. What a cool just conversation. I felt like it just flowed and it was just magic. These episodes are just getting cooler and cooler, man. Nice little guitar solo there, Mike. Wow.
Right on.
All right. That was cool. So, thanks for tuning in the Chair with Bear. Please you know, send us a review. Send us in some messages, too. If you know anybody who wants to be on the show, let us know. And just thanks for supporting us and being a part of this whole community that's growing. Really appreciate you guys.